And support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast sharing all the awesome since 2013. I'm Kelly Toole at KellyThul on Twitter. And with me, as always, advancing the Amazon Prime Directive is Mel.
Hey, everybody, I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, a little bit more often these days. So
it's a comeback.
I'm trying. I didn't have anything nice to say today, unfortunately, but I'll work.
You had
on
one
it.
Incredibly nice thing to say today.
Well, that was cool. I saw that and went, "Aw, that was a really cool picture." You want to tell everybody what it's about?
So Mel, in her nonstop Twitterness, constantly tweeting all over the place, took a moment to slide one my way, and it was a wonderful photo of a gentleman you may have heard of named Alice Cooper, and another gentleman you may have heard of named Johnny Depp, who are working together in a group called Hollywood Vampires, which is doing cover songs of everybody that Alice knows that has died, pretty much. And so the studio version of the Hollywood Vampires album will include Paul McCartney, which is kind of cool. But Johnny Depp, who apparently is quite the guitarist, has been part of the band.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about that, but I figured you did since it involved the almighty Alice.
Yes, indeed. I've been pretty excited. They're going to tour. McCartney, shockingly enough, will not be touring with them, but it should be pretty cool. So, yeah, it was a great photo. It's nice to see the two. And Alice, never an attractive man, you put him next to Johnny Depp, doesn't seem entirely fair, but he held up pretty good in that photo. That's one of the better Alice photos I've seen in a while, so.
Their hair, they kind of have the long hair, stringy hair thing going on, so.
Yep. Yeah, one of those heads of hair has probably got a little more dye, because Alice has got to keep that black hard rocker hair, and nature may be trying to take it away. Who knows?
Yep.
All righty. Well, thanks for sending that tweet. It's very cool. It's nice. Came at a good time. I needed a pick-me-up, and that was the perfect time of the day to see that, so thanks.
Good.
So we know a couple things about Mel. We know that she's on Twitter nonstop. She's just a machine on there. The other thing we know is Mel loves her sports, and so I wanted to make sure that I gave a sports recommendation because she's such a huge, huge sports fan. But
that's me.
I'm giving this recommendation. It is about sports, but I think you will actually enjoy it if you watch it. And ESPN's 30th anniversary was in 2009. And so they developed a series of things called 30 for 30, where they secured 30 different filmmakers to make 30 different 1 to 2 hour films about different events. The night that the NBA championship was going on and O.J. Simpson was arrested, the stories of Miami University, the real story behind Rudy, the guy from Notre Dame, and it was so popular, and they're on Netflix, and I've watched a lot of them and enjoyed a lot of them.
I'm sorry, 30 hours of sports sounds like a nightmare.
I'm recommending one show. I was like, why is Mel laughing? This is not funny. I am not recommending you watch 30 hours of sports. I'm recommending you watch one of the 30s for 30. Where I got confused, they're on Netflix, and I've watched a ton of them. Matter of fact, I'm fairly certain I've watched more than 30. And this confused me, because I said it's 30 for 30, and I'm fairly sure I've watched more than 30. How did this all happen? But now I see, because it was so successful, they did 30 for 30 for their anniversary, but then they've continued to do it each year afterwards, so there's a new batch of 30 and a new batch of 30. So,
yay!
So it's not, you're not limited to 30. You've got like 120 of these you can watch. So
I can't wait.
That's right. But there's just one I'm suggesting at this time, although I've watched a couple others that I may recommend later, but I'm just recommending this one for now. And it's called The 16th Man. and it's largely about a sport. The sport's in the backdrop of the story, and it's a sport that I know absolutely nothing about except that I would never, ever play it, and that's rugby. So I'm guessing that there are 15 players to a rugby team, and the 16th man is the part of the story of someone else who is very closely involved with the rugby team. Now, the interesting thing is this is a story about the South African rugby team and Nelson Mandela. And so what you get through this story, most of the story is about South Africa and apartheid and some backstory on when Mandela went in, who he was originally nonviolent. He had been resisting, you know, they had the segregated government. The whites were the minority by a huge amount, about maybe it's either 5 or 10 to 1 in terms of the population. But they had all the power. They ran it. Deplorable conditions for the majority of the population, no vote, segregated system, horrible. And Mandela resisted it nonviolently for a number of years. Having no success with that, he turned to more aggressive means, which ended him going to jail. So you get a little bit of his story. You get the story of another individual where there was a police crackdown where they were beating some people, and this guy ended up killing a police officer, and so he was put in prison and was getting, you know, basically on death row. And so he's part of the story, and he's talking about it. And then you get these rugby players talking, and so I was trying to piece it together. Apparently, rugby is like the sport in South Africa, huge, particularly amongst the white population, very, very popular. So what would happen is that when they would have big games during apartheid, as you know, all the white people would come in and sit in the seats, and the black folks were required to stand on either one end or another, the other, you know, so they go through. And they would basically root for the other team. They were pretty, this was not a good dynamic, not very happy. So New Zealand, who apparently is a rugby powerhouse, another thing I learned, didn't know that, but New Zealand, good at rugby. When they come, the folks would just, you know, they'd be rooting on New Zealand to win because it was just obvious a lot of friction there. And the team Springbok, Spring B-O-K, was the kind of premier team in South Africa. And they had kind of like a gazelle logo, green and yellow colors and gazelle. And Springbok was the team. So they were giving a little bit of background on that, and they keep interviewing these rugby players, who, by the way, look like talking beer kegs. It's just every one of them is just these massive, huge men with no neck and giant heads and all nice and articulate, but just monsters of men. And they were just kind of talking about what Springbok was all about and the pride in rugby and all that. So Mandela gets out. After Mandela's finally released, as public pressure finally got the apartheid system to break down some, they had their first general election where everyone, first time ever, where everyone could vote. And not surprisingly, Nelson Mandela became the president of South Africa. And so this was a point of concern for the former ruling white party. And Mandela, you know, this is one of the things I really liked about this is you just got, you mean, you always knew Mandela was a kind of a great man. And smart, and obviously what he drove for was important. But what you saw was he's also remarkably perceptive. He was looking for ways to kind of create some olive branches and do something to kind of pull the country together. And so he began to have some conversation around some things, and basically in kind of an exchange type of thing, he said, you know, I'll get the Rugby World Cup to come to, because they had basically, South Africa had been kind of shunned from the rest of the rugby world, weren't allowed, just like they weren't allowed to participate in the Olympics and stuff like that. So he says, I'll bring that to South Africa, and we'll have it here, we'll host it. And so that's what they did. And at this point, it didn't exactly integrate. There was only one non-white player on the Springbok team by the time this tournament came, but there was finally one, at least. And but Mandela showed up at their practice. Helicopter came in. He landed down as they were getting ready for the World Cup coming up just to visit with them. He knew all the players. He knew their names. And he one of the guys kind of reached out. He had a Springbok baseball cap, and he went over and handed it to Mandela. And without missing a beat, Mandela grabbed it and put it on. And it was just, you know, that had basically been a symbol for a long time about the clear distinction. Right. But he was like, we're one South Africa. You're our team. I'm here to support you. He'd be speaking to a lot of his followers as this tournament began to say, get out there and support the team. And they were really not enthusiastic about it. But he actually showed up to one of the speeches in full Springbok attire. He had hit the company store and had it all, the jacket, the hat, sweatpants, everything. And so there were a lot of people who were struggling, kind of saying, why are you wearing a Springbok hat and all that? So you get to see kind of the dynamic of him trying to convince his supporters around, if things are going to be different, things need to be different. So this is one chance for us. And he had a strong belief that sport was one of the one things that could kind of bridge gaps. So the Springbok team was good for South Africa, you know, within South Africa, but in terms of on the national or the international stage, probably not highly regarded. Mm-hmm. But they ended up winning quite a few games. They kind of upset a tournament favorite, France, I believe, in one of the early rounds, and they kind of kept going on, and it eventually came to they made it to the finals against the dreaded New Zealand, and so he kind of before that gave a couple more conversations and said, y'all need to come and support the team. And so it was just a really striking thing to watch the day of the game, a fully integrated crowd in the stadium, all cheering for the South African team in the shanty towns and in the better developed cities, everybody glued to the televisions watching it. You get to see kind of some different perspectives. Like I mentioned at the beginning, Mandela had been in jail and they were telling the story of another guy. He was saying, you know, he was not on the Springbok bandwagon. They said, I don't really want any part of it. It was still a big symbol of hatred. And you just kind of saw him processing through that and what was happening. And I won't say what happens, but it's a very interesting story to see how it all plays out. But it was just fascinating to see, because they interview, like I said, all the rugby players, and they were really cool about it. They were just all simply amazed that Mandela, who they knew had every reason to have issues with a lot of things, was kind of reaching out to them. After they won their first game, he actually took them all to the island where he had been kept prisoner for like 16 of the 20-some years he was in prison. That really kind of weighed on a lot of them in terms of kind of saying this, you know, this is a chance for us to do something for the country. So it seemed to resonate well with the players. Mandela was just doing very cool things, and it was just kind of interesting to see how it all played out. It was also very depressing to find out what was a going concern for far too many years in South Africa, because you get kind of a pretty good flavor of kind of how that society rolled, and including some of the people who were pretty big proponents of that program that don't appear to have entirely moved on to see some things. But it was a little stark there to see it, and you know, you know about it, but to actually kind of see the true separation and injustice, it's a whole different thing. But then to see how Mandela came up with a pretty cool way to create a situation for people to come together rather than apart was pretty fun. So even though it's sports, and I didn't understand, somehow there's a kicking thing that's really important, and a guy said, a guy told me to practice this because it was going to be important, and it appeared it was important. I can't exactly tell you, but some guy kicked something towards the end that seemed pretty important. So, but it looks, but it reconfirmed that I will stay off rugby fields too, because it looks pretty rough.
Yeah.
So well, that would be my
cool. I might actually watch that. I was the self-appointed apartheid instructor at my high school. We, you know, back when you used to have to do current events and everything, I kind of took it upon myself to keep my class, you know, apprised of that entire situation in our small town, white countryside that we were. So I remember some of that, even though it did involve sports. So that's cool. I think I will probably actually watch that one.
So glad to hear you're watching all 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Finishing with you can start with this one and then you can kind of get through the rest of it. There's you may get another one down the road.
And what is this one called?
This is called The 16th Man.
The 16th Man. Okay.
Yeah. Which is
I'll have to add Mr. that to Mandela. My never-ending Netflix queue. Ah, that's cool. I have a bit of a different recommendation in that this one doesn't cost anybody any money. Yay! Because I usually am telling all y'all to spend money. It's a music recommendation, and this has actually been around for a long time. So you may have heard of it before, Kelly, but I'm behind. And so I just heard about this, and then I've actually seen it popping up all over the place lately. So I don't know if there's a resurgence for this particular web service / music app, but I've been playing around with it for the last week or so, and I think it's pretty cool. It's called 8Tracks. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay.
Or it's, if I have, I've forgotten.
It's 8tracks.com is the website, and I think I've been trying to remember how I first came across it, and I want to say I think their app was featured on the iOS App Store. Maybe they did an update, or maybe it's a new app. I'm not sure, but it is a streaming music service. Now, what makes this one a little bit different than a bunch of the other music services, because all of you know I'm a big fan of Spotify, this one, you upload your music. So you can make playlists of music that you have legally, of course, and make a playlist and share it with everyone. So you can make a themed playlist on anything you want to do. There are, just imagine what fandom does with playlists. There are playlists upon playlists on, today I saw a whole bunch for Black Widow. And it's like once I listened to one, it like kept rolling out just playlist after playlist that people had put up in tribute to Black Widow. It's actually pretty cool. So
Black Widow. I wonder if there might be an artist who'd be reflected on the Black Widow playlist.
I didn't hear any Alice.
Oh, that's one of his best songs.
Not in the ones that I listen to. So see, you need to get on there and make a Black Widow playlist that features Alice Cooper. I did not come across Alice Cooper on any of these. So, but I did hear some music that I hadn't heard before, which is the whole point of this. I get very stagnant in my music listening because I can't stand listening to the radio and I'm old. And so all of this newfangled kids pop music out there really irritates me. And so I end up listening to the same songs over and over again. So whether it's Spotify or YouTube or whatever it is, I try to listen to some new stuff that I haven't heard before. So I've actually come across a lot of songs on 8Tracks that people have uploaded that I've never heard of the artist before and I actually enjoy. So that leads me into looking at more stuff by that artist to see if I like them. But it is unique to me in that I haven't come across another one that you can upload your obscure music that maybe other people haven't heard of that may not be already up online on a streaming service. They may not be up on Spotify. They may not have very much on YouTube. And I'm not really familiar with Pandora. I don't know where all of their music comes from. But I don't know if you can you do on demand on Pandora? Is it all just like radio online? Do you know?
It's more online type. I mean, I think you can thumb up and thumb down and kind of advance through something, but I don't think there's any more I don't think you can seek out.
Okay. So Spotify also, you can make playlists on Spotify, but unless you're a paid subscriber, you can only shuffle playlists. It just plays them randomly. You can't listen to a particular song on demand. So on 8Tracks, one of the things that is both interesting, it's both a pro and a con. When you find one of these playlists, you can search by either a particular artist, or when people create a playlist, they put in a brief description and they put in tags about it. So when you find a playlist, they've usually uploaded a representative piece of artwork to depict the playlist, and you don't know what songs are in the playlist at all. It doesn't show them to you until they play. So you have to listen to all of the songs in the playlist to find out what's actually in there. So it's a pro and a con because one, it's interesting in that if there's just one song in there that I really wanted to listen to, I won't listen to all those other songs that I may not know. So I can't do that because I don't know what the songs are. But it's a con because you only get to skip 3 tracks every hour that you're listening. So if you come across a playlist that's got 15 songs and you skip 3, this happened to me today. I'd already hit my quota. I didn't know there was a quota. And then this song came on that I absolutely despise. I absolutely despise this song and I couldn't skip it. I was so upset. So I either had to stop listening, or what I actually did was just mute my device until the song was over because it wouldn't let me skip. So I had to sit there for 3 minutes while this horrible song played that I absolutely hate until the next song came on.
So what is that song, Mel? I need to know.
It's something by MIA. I don't remember the name of the song, but I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of her music at all. I haven't heard any of her songs that I actually like. So I don't know. I'm just not feeling that. So don't anybody ever send me an MIA song because I don't like it. So it's kind of fun. In the time that I've been looking at this, I've actually come across my brief visits to Twitter, several people tweeting out links to playlists they've made on 8 tracks that were playlists around particular book characters, which I thought was funny because here's another example of how nerds go crazy online loving a particular character from a book or a movie or anything else. And we're going to go dedicate hours of our lives to picking out a playlist to depict how we feel about this character. And I had never heard of this particular service before. And according to their website, they've been doing this since 2008. So that's a really long time. And I haven't heard of them before. So one of the, and I didn't find an answer as to why they call it 8 tracks, but you have to have at least 8 songs to make a playlist. But I couldn't tell if they knew what an 8-track used to be. They
Yeah,
might not be old enough.
I was a little worried when you said there was something I didn't like about it, that it was going to be after every 2 songs there would be this long delay, and then you'd hear click, and that one song would be split in the middle, and it would fade out, and you'd hear the click, and then you get a running start back into it. There was a Jesus Christ Superstar 8-track in my youth, and I Don't Know How to Love Him was the one that did not fit on a track, so it would play and then stop, and it would cha-ching and then restart. So it
Yeah,
doesn't
the
do that.
eight, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. The 8-track era was a little bit before my time, but my parents had a huge piece of furniture that was an 8-track player, and we only had one 8-track, and it was Elvis. It was an Elvis album. I don't remember which one, but that was the only
It
one
have
that
a
was in
split
there.
song?
I don't think I was actually allowed to play with it very much to even re I don't remember there being a split song, but I'm sure there probably was because I've always heard that.
Yeah,
But
so it, yeah, it. I had a Captain Beefheart's Blue Jeans and Moonbeams. Not one of his best efforts, but a hard one to find. The only way I found it was on an 8-track, which was really sad because you couldn't even like record it onto something else. You were trapped in the 8-track world.
Yeah, 8 tracks were interesting. I loved messing with ours just because it was this huge piece of furniture that had all this arcane, purpose to it. You'd open up the lid and there were all these dials and things inside, and it was just amazing to a little kid, and I wasn't really allowed to play with it, but when nobody was around, I would go in there and open the lid and look at all the knobs. It was
Magic of a track.
I know, it was exciting and scary. So there's there might be some exciting and scary stuff on 8tracks.com because there are quite a few playlists that are, that at least they've been tagged. You can also tag playlists that they're NSFW, so you don't accidentally, you know, turn those on and play them at work. So that's a good thing. So it's just an interesting music service that I didn't know about, and I thought I would share for all the other people who don't know about it. I actually made my first playlist today, and we'll see how it goes. I might put a link up on the blog post to it if I can figure out how.
It's about sports, isn't it?
No, nope. It's not. No, it's 30. Basically about books.
Oh, cool.
But it's a fun little playlist. It's a little silly, but I'll see about putting a link up on the blog post for this to it. So anyway, 8tracks.com, they have a web app for, it's online on an internet browser, but it's also has an iOS app, Android app, and a Windows app. So you're set.
Excellent. Sounds fun. Maybe we'll also include a picture of an old 8-track player so people can see.
The youngins can see what an 8-track looks like.
Yeah, think about it as like a giant cassette that was horrible because it did that little song splitting thing. But yeah, but there was one. We didn't own it. And ours wasn't quite the massive configuration yours was, but there was one that was kind of almost like a ball that had almost like the old TNT plunger on the top of it that you could hit the top of it and get it to jump to the next set of tracks and all that, which looked kind of fun. So
yeah, they were interesting. The 8-tracks were those things before they had cassette tapes, y'all.
Reel to reel. I think it was reel to reel before 8-tracks, before cassettes, but never considered a high fidelity sound capture device. But yeah, I'll have to try that out. And I can't believe you saw Black Widow song lists and playlists without Alice's Black Widow on it.
I think I must have listened through three at least. Jeez. And some of them were pretty long with like 20 something songs. And I didn't come across a single Alice Cooper. You're going to have to go on there and fix that.
That is so wrong. All right. Since you've made your grand return to Twitter, Mel, do you have a social media rec for this week?
I do.
Excellent.
I do, I think. My Twitter recommendation this week is, I actually remembered the one that I meant to make a while back. And it actually kind of goes with my recommendation this week because the aforementioned playlist that I made on 8tracks.com is basically a funny playlist about shapeshifter romance books. And my Twitter recommendation is someone who has been known to write some shapeshifter romance books. But what all of you will love about her is that she is as much a fan of the crazy sci-fi movies as we are. So back during all of the Sharktopus and Sharknado craziness and Lavalantula and all of that, Miss Molly Harper was tweeting the hell out of it. And her Twitter handle is at Molly Harper Auth, A-U-T-H for author. And she is a very funny lady, and she loves Sharktopus about as much as I do. I'm not sure anybody can love Sharktopus as much as I do, but she's close. So
is that Molly with a Y or an I-E?
Y.
It's a Y. Okay.
Yes. So she's terribly funny. She writes funny little romance books. Some of them featuring werewolves. So anyway, she was one of the inspirations as I was having a conversation with someone today about shapeshifter romance books, and decided to go through my music collection and make a playlist describing shapeshifter romance books. So there you go.
Excellent. Alrighty. So that's yours is better for this week. Mine's okay, but yours sounds much better. Mine is, there's a lot of accounts out there that are best something something. And this is one of those. And this is best movie line. So my recommendation is at best movie line on Twitter. And it is as advertised. It's typically a photo with the text from the movie underneath it. An example of a fairly recent tweet was from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory featuring Johnny Depp, coming back to our earlier conversation with the quote, "Everything in the room is edible. Even I'm edible. But that is called cannibalism, my dear children. And that, in fact, is frowned upon in most societies." So so it's a fun one. It's kind of neat to see what they pick out as it. But so it's a nice little timeline filler from that and all those types of things. So best movie line would be my recommendation for the week. Wow, two social media recommendations. This is a super episode.
I know. Wow, I don't know the last time that happened.
It's been a while. Cool. Yeah. Most excellent. So I'm glad you remembered that one. It's a great, great rec.
Yeah, I'm not making any promises for next week, though, y'all. I'll try.
So I was going to say now, in the spirit of Alice Cooper, the Black Widow, "These words he speaks are true. We're all humanary stew if we don't pledge allegiance to Matt Shivers." But that seemed positive. So I couldn't do that one. So I will go, speaking of people who love reading shapeshifter romance novels, here's Matt to give you all the information on how you can connect with us on Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, all over the place. So we'll turn it over to Matt, and I'd just like to say thanks, everybody, for listening again.
Thank you.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Toole.
Nurturing and supporting.